Well, I'm excited today because I was trying to figure out. Sasha had shared that he was, you know, going to be in the United States sometime in February, and I was like, "Wow, how are we going to get him to my church and to Living Hope at the same, you know, same week?" Those kinds of things, juggle it around, and we're able to do a joint service. And for my people, I got to spend 3 weeks with this gentleman. We got to drive on the wrong side of the road in Russia together. We got to eat some unusual things together. I was going to say something, but that's improper grammar, but we were sleep deprived together. So somebody's true colors come out when they have no sleep, right? And good thing is that Sasha was the same. He didn't turn into an evil person with no sleep and no food. And so I very much enjoyed my trip. His family, they're very hospitable. His church, and I'm grateful and honored that he and his family could come today and share with us, and you can get to meet him. So I'd like, Sasha, if you could come up. Let's welcome him this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? God is here. He's in our midst. The one who created the heaven and the earth. The one who knows the stars by account and gives the name to every one of them. He's right here. He's right in the midst of us. Whether we feel it or not, whether we sense it or not, He's here. He's here. I know that He is in the midst of us. The Holy Ghost is hovering over this place. God is doing something very, very unique. And as we were praying together, as we were worshiping the Lord together, I have seen the hand of God. God once again had opened my eyes and allowed me to see the presence of God a very different way. A very different way. He is here. And I was praying and I said, "Lord, how do I start it? Where do I start it? How do you begin?" And the Lord spoke to me once again. He said, "Just tell my church, I'm here." So be assured in His presence. He's here. He's in our midst. He's right next to you. He's not far. You can reach your hand and you can touch Him. His presence is sensible. His presence is right here, and we can all get a hold of Him by faith. By faith. By faith, He's in our midst. God is doing something very, very unique worldwide in the church today. And I see God is preparing His church for something that had never happened before. In a way, we had seen these things happening in the very early church, but for the decades, for the centuries, there was something missing. There was something that was in store for the latter days. And I know that everyone who knows the Lord and who knows God in the prayer room, we all know that we are living in the very last days. I mean, there is no proofs needed for that. We walk into the prayer room. We get face to face with God. And there is one thing we all hear again and again. I'm coming soon. I'm coming very soon. This is one thing that I hear God speaking to me constantly, all the time. Every time I stand behind the pulpit in every church, whether it's my church or I'm traveling in Latvia or Russia or the other churches, there is one thing that I hear again and again. Tell my body, tell my church, I'm coming soon. I'm coming very soon. The time is very short. It's much, much shorter than we think. And in a way, it's much shorter than we want it to be. It is short. We're living in a very dark hour. The time is dark. It's midnight. And we see it all around us. But at the same time, what God has prepared and what God has in store for the church today is glorious. It's wonderful. It's something that conquers the darkness. And when we live in the darkness, and when we walk in the darkness, when the darkness all around us, and we switch the light on, it's attractive. And the light shines much stronger in the darkness. I will never forget what Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, said. He was referring to Israel, but it was a very, very profound statement. And he said, if you would walk into the very dark room with no light, with no windows, and in complete darkness, you would light one candle. There would be no dark anymore. It's not going to be dark anymore. In this dark hour, God has prepared a beautiful, beautiful future for the church. And it's going to be very, very different. In my spirit, in my prayer time, the Lord had visited me and He allowed me to see things that are coming for the body of Christ generally, worldwide. I'm not talking specifically about one body of believers, one church, one country. As we had seen the revivals for sweeping countries. We have seen the revivals that were in Wales. We had seen the revivals in Russia and other parts of the earth, in Europe. But it's going to be very, very different. What God has preparing for the body of Christ, it's like a last wave of His Spirit. It's going to be like one last outpouring of the Holy Ghost on every church. It's going to be seen and it's going to be obvious in every single church on the face of the earth. It's not going to be starting in one place and spreading through into the region. It's going to be happening simultaneously all over the world. And every single church that is open for Him. Every single church that is crying out for Him. Every single church that is declaring, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Every single church that is open for the gospel and for the presence of God will experience that new outpouring of the Holy Ghost one more time, one more time, one more time. And it's going to be very unique. It would bring us back to the very beginning, the way it was in the beginning, when the presence of God would come upon every flesh. And it would not be a someone very special who would come and stand behind the pulpit. It would stand before the congregation and the supernatural anointing would be upon this particular man. The presence of God is going to be upon every single one. The presence of God is going to come upon believing men and women. And they're going to be performing miracles and wonders. It's going to be something very special and something yet very profound and very simple that God is going to do in His church. In His church. We're all familiar with the scripture, with the prophecy in the book of Joel, where the Bible says that God is going to outpour His presence, His Spirit, upon all flesh. All flesh. And this is what we're going to be witnessing very soon. Very soon. And I believe the time is coming when the churches are going to be sending missionaries more than ever before. But not because they would be encouraged to do that. But because there would be unity, there would be a desire. It would not be a great missions that would be forming. It would be a local churches that will be sending missionaries to. Because there would be a unity in the spirit. There would be unity in mind. There would be a oneness in hearts. There would be one message that would be spread from one person to another. Jesus is coming soon. He is at the door and will have the work to do. There would be no jealousy for someone who is going overseas. There would be no jealousy for someone who is going to the mission field. There would be oneness. There would be understanding that this is the work that we do together. This is our work. Jesus had commanded us to do that, and we're doing that. It's going to be very different. There would be no more need for traveling far distances or long distances to hear somebody speak. Because the presence of God, the Holy Ghost, would be manifested in every meeting and every service. There would be no desire to drive long distances to hear somebody sharing what God had done. Because every one of us, we would have the testimony in our lips. What God is doing. Not what He had done. Not what was in the past. But right now, in this very hour, what God is doing now. And God is preparing His church everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. God is raising a passion, a desire for Him, for Him. And at the same time, as we're coming to this place, and as I'm seeing that in my heart and in my spirit, I'm trembling because I'm seeing the greatness of what God is going to do in this church. Seeing the greatness and magnificent things that God is going to reveal in His church. I understand that it's just unrealistic. Unrealistic in the society that we're living with. The mindset of the people that are around us, with all these forms of understanding and formalities and religion and all of these type of things that had kept God away and His presence away from the churches, I prayed and said, Lord, this is great, but I don't know how it's going to be happening. It's going to be something that will turn our world upside down. Everything, our understanding, our perspective of God, everything would have to be changed. And I said, Lord, I don't know how this is possible. And in the midst of all things, in the midst of this encounter with the Lord spoke to me very gently and He said, will you just believe me? Will you just believe me? That I'm going to do that. Will you just have faith that I'm able? And when we see the circumstances around us, it's hard to believe. But when we're face to face with the One who can do all things, we can believe. And there is one thing that God is expecting from us. One thing. Will you believe Him? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him for your life? Will you trust Him that He will fill your vessel to overflowing? Will you trust Him that He's going to take your life and make it a light that is radiating in the darkness? Will you be a testimony for Him? Will you allow Him to do with your life what He desires to do? Even though it sounds very unrealistic. Will you allow Him to take you places that you have never thought of going to? Will you allow Him to change your mindset and allow His greatness to come into your life? I understand that what God is about to do in this church, in the church worldwide, would be requiring from us much more than just the knowledge, much more than just experience or understanding that we have. That would be one thing that God is looking for, would be looking, is still looking, is faith. So simple. So simple. And we, you know, we're all believers. We all claim ourselves to be believers. When we come to the presence of God, we believe, we confess, we tell the world that we're walking with God, we believe God, but do we? Do we believe Him? When the dark hour comes to our life and we were facing that end, do we believe Him? It's easy to say than to do. And it's very interesting, but there would be nothing else that God would require from us at that day. There would be no logic to what God is going to do. There would be no logical sense of or the sequence of what God is going to do. And God is going to be looking for one thing. Will you trust me? Will you believe me? Will you just believe me? Will you just have faith? And it's very interesting, as I've been researching that particular moment, I remember the place of scripture in the book of Luke 18:8. And the Bible says that, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in the midst of all churches, ministries worldwide, in the midst of the tremendous work of the evangelization or evangelistic work that is all over the world today, God speaking of this very last day, last hour. And he says, when Jesus comes, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? This is so awkward. This is so different. This is, God, what are you talking about? Look around. This is churches around. I mean, there got to be someone who is believing. But at the same time, God is making that statement. Will he find faith? With the anointing that he's coming? With the presence of God that he's going to reveal? With the manifestation of his spirit that is going to sweep the churches? It would require one thing. One thing that God is looking. And it's so odd. So odd that he's not finding it. Very rarely he finds that. He is looking for one simple thing. One simple act from us. He doesn't require us anything. He's not requiring prayer, fasting, reading, or anything. He's asking, what you believe? And he comes and he says, when the Son of Man would come and he would prepare the church, he would outpour his presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would be upon everyone. The readiness to outpour the presence of God. He said, will there be one thing? Will he be able to find faith? And this is what God is looking today in my life. When I come to his presence, when I see the greatness of things that God is going to do and what he's doing. When God is at the very hour, at this very particular moment, there is things that God is showing us personally that are beyond imagination. There is just beyond our comprehension. And the ministry that God is showing us, I said, Lord, I want to believe, but this is so great. This is bigger than we think. This is bigger than we understand. And again, I hear that whisper in my heart. Would you just believe? Would you just believe me? Would you just believe me? There are things that God has been speaking to your heart. They are tremendous. They are great. They are beyond your imagination. The dream that is more than the book that you can write. And in the midst of all, God is simply speaking, would you believe me? Would you just believe me? We don't have the resources. We don't have the money. We don't have the time. We don't have the opportunities. That's all in the hand of God. But would you believe me? Would you just believe me? That what I have spoken to you would come to pass. I'm not requiring your labor. I'm not requiring your fasting. I'm not asking you to do things for me. Would you believe? Would you believe? And it's just so odd. When the scripture says, when the Son of Man comes, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in us? Will he find faith right here in my life to do what he wants to do? We have all these different means and ways on how to deal with the troubled families. We have 7 steps of how to get out of debt. We have 19 steps on how to do this, in this, in this, in this, in this. How to prosper and how to do this. How to invest and how to everything. We have this logical sense. We have this logical chain of the events, what we're supposed to be doing. And in the midst of all this logic, God comes with this simple question. How about just trusting me? How about just getting the staff and lean upon your staff? That is the promise that I have given you. How about just believing me that what is not possible for a man is possible for me? Will you just believe me? I was researching this word faith. It was very interesting and fascinating to me, especially in the light of what God has been speaking to me. So I got into my library and I reached on the shelf and I got the book. thick book. And it says faith. So I said, this is it. Now I will know what faith is all about. So I opened the book. On the very first page there, there was a very simple definition of what faith is all about. And it was Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And I said, good, great, faith. And I began to read. I was reading page after page. And by the time I got to the page 50, I realized that neither I or the author understands what faith is all about. And I thought, this is only page 50, because it's like God, it's like the author had taken me to the jungles of this theological, philosophical understanding of faith. And I understood by the page 50, 55, 60 that he has no clue what he's talking about. And my mind is all upside down. It's so complicated. It's so hard to comprehend. At the same time, Jesus, when he comes, he says, he looks at the man, he says, don't be afraid, but just believe. He looks at the woman who had walked her way through the crowd, touched his garment, and was made whole. He looked at her and said, daughter, thy faith had made you whole. He's not saying, oh, you know, by the way, I healed you. No, he's not saying that. He said, thy faith had made you whole. He speaks to the Jairus and he said, don't be afraid. If you can believe just a little bit, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Jesus seems to be not making faith is available for only elite, you know, persons. He's not saying, Eric, by the way, you know, you need to have faith. How about you going to the Bible school? How about you studying faith? He said, if you can have faith, as Master said, everything is possible. He comes to the crowd and said, if you have faith, everything is possible for you. And yet we are so polluted within our mind that this simple act of faith, this thing, the faith that is available for everyone, we got a pollution in our mind from all the theology and understanding that is so difficult to believe. We have all this knowledge of what faith is like. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the point where we need to exercise our faith, we don't even have an understanding of what faith is like. We read Hebrews 11:1, and then 360 pages explanation of this word. And by the time we get to the end, we forget the definition of the faith, and we forgot what we've been reading about, and we got all confused. So we decide we just will sit and see. At the same time, God is making himself real by faith. God is making himself real by faith. Thy faith had made you whole. And all of a sudden, you read in the book of Mark, when the Bible says, those who believe will see the signs. In Mark 16:17, it says, and those signs will follow who believe. He's talking to his disciples. In my name, you will cast out demons, you will speak in the new tongues. And the word believe here, in the Greek, in the Hebrew context, is someone who has faith. And faith produces the fruits. It's something that I have. It's not something that periodically I can believe God. And periodically I can understand what God is doing. Jesus is saying, and those signs will follow those who believe. Someone who has faith in his heart. Faith. He doesn't have to do anything. Anything. He has faith in him. That God is able. God is able to do much more than he had done before. There was no problem for Peter to lay his hands on the sick. He didn't even think whether he was supposed to be healed or not. He was not digging out in his past. trying to find out whether he was upset on his parents or not in when he was 5 years old. That was not a question for him. He was not digging out in his laundry. You know, by the way, you got sick because of your sins. No, he didn't care. He didn't care. God is not fixing our hearts. God is not into business of repairing our hearts. When we come to the Lord, He said, I'm giving you a new heart. He's not trying to dig down in our past and tell us, you know, there is a knot that had to be untied. There is things that needs to be taken care of. When we come to the Lord, we come to Him and He said, give me your heart. All broken, all weary, all cracked, painful, in stripes, just give it to me and I give you a new heart. He's not fixing our hearts. He's not repairing us. He gives us new life. He said, everything in past is forgotten. Now it's all new. And this is what the Lord is wanting us to understand. That He is making Himself available. Available for every single one of us. He is not far. He is not complicated. He is not far away from us. The things that we desire greatly, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that we are desired in the manifestation of His presence that we desire to see every day is not far. It's not the Bible school length. We don't have to walk to the Bible school. I mean, it's good to be in the Bible school. It's good to study the Word. It's good to know the Word of God. But it's not the mean to get the faith. It's not the means to attract the presence of God. He's looking for a simple heart. Would you believe? And if you can, everything is possible. Everything is possible. And I've been thinking of these people, the patriarchs of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They had never gone to the Bible school. They had never gone to the Bible school. And at the same time, when we read the scriptures, I tremble before Jeremiah. He's being beaten. He's being spit upon. And he stands up. He looks at the king and says, Thy says the Lord. Where would he get the strength to do that? Abraham or Moses, leaving everything behind. Where would they get the strength and ability to do that? And at the same time, the Bible says, they said, they all have been witness to us as a man of faith. I don't know whether you have been in the White House. I have never been to the White House, but I have seen a TV program on the White House. And as they were saying, and I hope they were right, there is a alley of fame in the White House where you walk in and on the wall there is pictures hanging on each side. And the pictures of the presidents of the United States. How many presidents there were? 46? 41? 44? All right. Let's keep it to 44. So 44 portraits on the side. The men that had changed the history of the United States. The men that were witnessed. They're great men for the country. They're presidents of the United States. Maybe some of them were not that great, but it's okay. They are there. So when you come into this alley of fame, you see all these people, and everyone would have something to say about the United States and the life and the courts and the history of the country. And I thought, it would be so nice to walk into a room with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Noah, all these people. You know, come to him. Come to Jeremiah and says, what's faith is all about? Or come to Abraham and says, Abraham, what is faith? What is it? What is it all about for you? Or let's say, come to Paul and say, Paul, would you tell me what is faith is all about? We get all these theological books on faith, but I want to come to someone who has faith and ask you, what's faith it's all about? Wouldn't that be nice to hear them speak and just tell us, you know, faith is, and they would give our definition. And you won't, in, as I was thinking about that, God had brought me to that room. And we're going to go there now. And we're going to ask those people, give us the definition of faith. Let's turn to Hebrew 11. And let's go to the room of fame. People who were witnessed by faith. And we're going to talk a lot about, and we're going to ask them. God is giving us the chance to ask people of faith what is faith is all about and see what they have to say. Hebrew 11. We are granted such opportunity, such a wonderful opportunity to ask them what faith is all about. Hebrew 11:4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than testifying of his gifts. And though it is even though he is being dead, still speaks. So we come to this room and we meet with Abel. And we come to him, the one that is being witnessed as a man of faith. And we come to him and said, Abel, what is faith is all about? What is faith to you? And I just imagine, just picture it. Abel thinks for a moment, pauses, and he said, you know, faith is not receiving from God. Faith is giving. Faith is not expecting something from him. Faith is giving him a sacrifice. Sacrifice that is more than you would like to give. Sacrifice is giving him something that I feel comfortable with giving. You give him more. We all have the understanding of faith. We can reach by faith and get something from God. We use our faith as a key to unlock the doors of heaven for God to bless us. And yet Abel says, faith is giving. Faith is not receiving from God, but giving to him. Big faith brings a big offering. Small faith brings a small offering. And Abel looks at us and he said, if you want to have faith, you need to understand that you need to give him everything. Faith is to give God everything that you have and keep nothing in reserve for yourself. It's such a different understanding. It's such a different perspective because we all wanted to receive from God. We all want to get from God. We all want to use the means and ways to be blessed. Whereas Abel says, faith is giving. It's to give God a sacrifice. Then further on, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see the death. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. But without a faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we continue our journey, would come to Enoch. Enoch, what is faith to you? What is it to you that you can tell me And the Enoch would probably look at us and he would say, you know, faith is not just believing that God is, that He is existing. Faith is walking with God. Faith is communing with God. Faith is having this uninterrupted fellowship with Him. Faith is understanding that He is right there with you all the time. So we would come to Him who walked with God, and He would tell us that faith is not knowing that God exists. It's not just knowing and understanding and believing that God is the creator of heaven and the universe, but faith is walking with Him. Walking where He goes. Go shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet, hand to hand with Him. Making decisions with Him. Thought to thought. Communing with Him. Faith is walking with God. Communing with Him. And loving Him. Then we go on and we see Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with a godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of their righteousness, which is according by faith. So we come to Noah. Noah, what is faith to you? And Noah would look at us and he said, you know, faith is laboring for God for free. It is so awkward to our mentality. We come to the church and we do something for the church, for the ministry, and we are waiting for remuneration. We want God to bless me. You know, I've done this. God bless me. And Noah says, you know, faith is laboring for God, not expecting to be paid, not expecting to be blessed. And he has a right to say that because he labored for God 100 years, not being paid. He's building this ark, not being paid. But God has a way to bless his people. Faith is laboring for his kingdom, for God, without expecting anything for that. And he would probably also look at us and said, you know, faith is not being dependent on the crowd and not be moved by what the crowd say and not be moved by what other people say. He was alone in the whole city, in the whole world. The labor for God was mocked. And then at the same time we come to him and he would look at us and said, you know, how about laboring for God without expecting to be blessed, without expecting to be paid, without expecting God to do something in reward of this? God would reward all the labors. God would bless what he's blessing that are much bigger than we expected. Noah was blessed, so we would be blessed. But faith is laboring for God without expecting God to bless us. And at the same time, they all in this room would look at us and say, you know, righteous shall live by faith. Righteous shall live by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he is going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a country in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, with him of the same promise. For he waited the city which has foundations, whose builders and makers is God. So we come to Abraham, the great man of faith, and we would say, Abraham, what is faith to you? And he would look at us and said, faith is obedience to God. Faith is obedience to God. Faith is journey with God. Faith is leaving everything behind and go with God, not knowing where He's going to take you. How many of us are willing to have faith? How many of us are willing to go to the places where we have no clue where we're going to be going? We are so sucked in our understanding of logic. Give me logic, I will do it. How many of us, if God would come to Pastor Eric and said, Eric, go to Mozambique. How many of us would say, sure, why not? We would say, God, how about confirmation? How about support? How about the house? How about, God, how about sending a shipment with containers there? A furniture, a car? We need an interpreter there. Abraham was walking by faith, and he says, faith is not questioning God. Faith is obedience. Faith is simply walking with Him. But we want to have a security. We want to have a knowledge. We want to have a security. We can't let it go. We need to have our hand, our thumb on everything. It has to be everything in order. I have to know what's going to happen next. Give me that blueprint. I'll follow. And Abraham says, there is no blueprint for God. There is no blueprint in faith. Will you believe Him? God is going to do great things. But will you have faith? Would you be able to follow Him, not knowing where He's going to take you? Hard. I don't want to do that. But Abraham did. And we come to him, and we all say, God, I want to have faith. And we come to Abraham and said, Abraham, what faith is all about? And he said, obedience. Leaving everything behind. Going to place you never been to. And you don't even know when you are going. And he left everything. And he followed. And then he would look at you and he said, you know, faith is ability to wait. Ability to wait for the promise. A long, 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 long time. And don't grow weary. He was waiting for the promise for 25 years. So he has a right to say. And he would tell us, faith is waiting and waiting and waiting and knowing that it will come to pass. It will come to pass. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And he would look at us and he said, faith is to die for everything that you have in your possession. Lose it all. Are you willing to have faith? Are you willing to participate in what God is about to do? Are you willing to be a vessel for God? Then here is what God is asking. How about die for everything that you have? How about bringing the very heart on the altar? How about giving all in all? Faith is not fighting. For what you have. It's not trying to gain what you want to have. Faith is the blessed absence of everything. It's when you walk and you're blessed. Because you've got nothing. But you've got God. Will you have faith? Will we have faith today to trust Him? And God comes to us and He said, will you believe me? To an extent where you've got nothing but me. Are you be willing to walk with me when you have nothing? You're going to have just me. More than enough. And Sarah would probably look at us and she would say, you know, faith is to be able to stand on the promises when the circumstances says no. faith is believing him. The Bible says further on, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob in Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning the bones. So it would come to Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and they would look at us and they would say, you know, faith is the prophecies that come to pass. Always. Always. Every single word that God had spoken will come to pass. Faith is the prophecies that always come to pass. And then further on, the verse 24, by faith Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we would come to him and Moses would say, faith is a decision. Faith is a decision. The decision to leave something behind. Even this something is everything that you have. And it's hard to imagine what Moses had left behind. For what? For what? We easily make a decision to trade something worse for better. But he left everything. The luxurious type of life. The brilliant future. The authority. You know, the modern world, what do we want? Money, influence, authority, luxurious type of life, and we're happy. And Moses said, you want to have faith? Then leave everything. Leave it all. And the Bible says further on, that he left the pleasures, comfort, authority, brilliant future, for what? For 40 years in the wilderness? And for desire to suffer with the children of God, 40 years in the wilderness, and then another 40 years in the wilderness, he's living all the luxurious type of life and everything that he has for 80 years of dwelling in the wilderness. And yet he's blessed. And yet we look at him as someone who is a patriarch of faith. And by the time we get to him, we don't really know whether we really want to know what faith is all about. We're quite comfortable with the definition of faith that we have. Something that we can get from God instead of being. And all of a sudden, faith is changing our world upside down. It's now, instead of receiving, it's giving and giving everything and trusting Him and believing Him for everything. And all of a sudden, we go, how about not changing everything? How about keeping my comfort? How about not disturbing me with this word? How about letting me just dwell where I am? I'll support anybody. I'll help anybody. But God comes and says, I don't care for your support. Will you have faith? Will you believe me? Everything that you have would be demolished in one single split of a second. But will you have faith that will stand? Will you believe me? Someone who is changes not. And Moses would say, faith is a decision. It's not emotions. It's a decision to leave everything behind and possess nothing, go to the wilderness. And willingness to suffer with the children of God, rather than have a luxurious type of life. How many of us would walk to the Mozambique or countries like that? Even to Latvia, where life is extremely difficult. It's worse than being in the far corners of Russia. How about that? Too hard. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. It's not about who God chose. God had chosen all of us to minister and to have faith. But it's about me. Will I choose Him? Will I choose have faith? Or comfort? Logic? Everything that I have now, and be happy with that. Will you have faith? The work of the Lord is based on one thing, as faith and faith alone. The anointing of God is by faith and faith alone. And when He comes to us, and He's going to be asking us the same questions, very simply, He's going to say, will you believe me just like they did? Will you have faith just like they had faith? Are you willing to walk the path of faith as they had walked? Are you willing to be blessed as they were blessed? Are you willing to give the way they had given? Are you willing to do all of that? I'll give you myself. Just have faith. Will you believe me? The Bible says further on, Rahab. By faith, the harlot of Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab would say faith is being saved and not being judged with this world. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, all of them had spoken of faith. And Paul, if we would come to Paul, Paul would say that faith is all my life. Living for God every day of my life and not a single hour for myself. Are we willing to have faith? We don't want faith. We don't want that kind of God. We want God to bless us. We want the prosperity to come into our life. We want the anointing of God to come upon us. We want God to make us famous. But we don't want ourselves to be a sacrifice for God to make Himself famous. We want to be in the front row, but we don't want to be behind the cross. It's not popular. It's not attracting the crowd. But when God comes, He said, Will I find faith? Hebrews 11:32-38. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, all these prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped from the edge of the sword, out of their weakness were made strong, become violent in battle, tuned to fight with the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and the others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Some of them say that faith is raw as a lion, and they would say faith is conquering the kingdom. Faith is, this is something we hear all the time, is go and win. Go and get it. Go and get it. Just confess it. Just believe it. You're going to get it. Go conquer the land. Go conquer the land. And faith is a conqueror. But at the same time, hear what the Bible says. Still others had trials of mockery and soaring. Yes, the chains of imprisonment. Faith? Imprisonment? Mockery? Pain? Anguishness? What are you talking about? We believe God to get us away from that. Imprisonment? Imprisonment? And the Bible says, yet still others had trials of mocking and scorning. Yes, the chains and imprisonment, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. Faith? What are you talking about? Is this faith? Is this faith that God is expecting from us? They wondered about the sheepskins and the goatskins being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And yet God is speaking of them as the heroes of faith. Of them, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What is this faith is all about? What would others say? Faith is suffering for God. Faith is being martyred for God. And then Jesus comes and He said, when the Son of Man would come on this earth, will He find that type of faith? Are we willing to be mocked? Are we willing to be tortured? We don't want that. We don't want that kind of God. We've been taught a different gospel. We've been taught a different perspective of the ministry. We've been taught a totally different understanding of what the faith is all about, and all of a sudden God comes and says, in this alley of fame, these people that had been tortured and killed, the martyrs, And they would say, faith is enduring hardship. Faith is being sawn into pieces and killed. And they were all in chorus, they would declare, righteous shall live by faith. And we want God to bless us. Faith is much greater than we think of. It's much greater, much greater. It's much greater than we imagine. But listen to this. Hebrews 11:39. And all those having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. They had suffered. They had forsaken everything. They have left everything behind. They have been, they shed their blood because of their faith. They kept their faith. And the Bible speaks of them as the heroes of faith. And then it says, they did not receive it. They did not receive it. So faith is stillness in God's presence. Faith is not waiting for remuneration. Faith is being with God and loving Him more than anything. Can you imagine what faith is like? Not receiving until the death, and get there and be in this gallery of fame among the faithful ones and be happy. Much greater than we imagine. Why? And the verse 40, then God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All of them had suffered greatly. Why? For us to have Christ today. Our grandfathers, our fathers, the heroes of faith, who died in prison, who died in Siberia, who died without seeing a revival, they died for one thing. God, let me bring faith to next generation. Abraham did not receive it. So his faith could not get perfect without our faith, because there is only one race. We're all running. And we are the generation to finish the race. But will we be worthy? Of their faith. Just think of it. They were slain. They were killed for me to know Christ. They were martyrs. For what? For my generation today to stand and have faith in Christ. They kept it for us. Will we keep it? Will we have faith? Will we have faith? We're running only one marathon. They have kept their faith. They had given us the baton of the marathon baton. We had taken it. Will we keep the faith? Will we run to the end? Will we come to the dark hour? Will we come to this very last minute on this planet? Will we be able to stand before God with that baton and said, I have kept my faith for you. Not the faith that the world is telling us about, but the faith that all these heroes of faith had just declared for us. God is going to do a new thing in the body of the church. God is going to be moved by one thing only. It's not about money. It's not about the influence. It's not about the country. It's about faith. Will you have faith? God is going to do a tremendous thing. And what He is asking us to do What the question is, he is asking every one of us today, will you believe me? Will you believe me just like they believed? Are you willing to have faith just like they had? Are you willing to keep your faith? Are you willing to let me use you? I want to be number one for you. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will protect you until the time. And when the time comes, even if you would have to die as a martyr, I will welcome you in my kingdom. Do we want that? I do. Father, we thank you for the enormous grace that you have given us. We have been living in a free countries. We had seen a very little persecution. We have never had to give up everything for you. You showered us with your blessings. You have given us everything, and yet we've forgotten you. The things that you have blessed us with have taken your place. The possession that we have, the money that we have, had taken your place. Instead of having faith in you, we have faith in the things that are around us. We have faith in our possession. We have faith in the influence that we have. And yet you're coming to us with a simple question. Will you believe me? I will never forget, Lord, as in your presence you have been showing me all these things. The great things that you are about to do. The pouring of the Holy Ghost upon the church. Bringing us back to the very beginning, to the simplicity where the gospel is being manifested in power and glory. All you're expecting from me, am I willing to go the journey of faith? Am I willing to walk the path of faith? Am I willing to love you the way Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Noah, Rahab, all of these heroes of faith, am I willing to love you the way they loved you? How many of them in this gallery of fame, how many of them are standing there rejoicing in your presence, losing everything but gaining so much? Will we be willing, Lord, to go? They have suffered not seeing the fulfillment of their faith because you, in your great plan, in your great mercy, in your great compassion, you have included us in this race. And they cannot be, their faith could not get perfect without us. Here we are, Lord, in this generation, in this hour, in our hands, we have this marathon baton. Will we keep this? Will we keep running? Will we keep running to the end? Help us not to detour. Help us not to grow weary. Help us to have faith in you. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. There are great things that are coming. Things are never going to get better in this world. The darkness is going to be darker and darker. But your light is going to shine brighter and brighter. Let us be your light. You have promised to be with us no matter what. Even if we walk to the arena with the lions and it's time for us to be a martyr, you will be with us. You will strengthen us. You promised that. You have never promised us the gold of the whole earth, and the possession and beauty of luxurious life. You've said, I'll be with you if you have faith. I want to walk this path of faith to the end. You're more than gracious. You're the merciful God. My Lord, and I pray for this brothers and sisters this morning. I know, Lord, every one of them there, they have their needs. Every one of them there, they coming to you with their petitions, Lord. And I pray, Father, shower them with your grace. Anoint them with your strength. Give them everything they need, Lord. Give them an abundance, Father. Let it be overflowing for their life. But encourage them, Lord, every morning, every evening, to have faith in you, Lord. The times are changing. Things are going to be different. But those who trust in you will never grow weary. They will stand. They will stand. Because you are the one that keeps us standing. Father, you bless this church. Bless the churches. Enlarge them. Help them to open the windows and doors of their hearts, Father, for the presence of God to flow. Take them to the places they've never been to. Help them to believe you for the new things, Father. And humble, Lord, in your presence. I know you're here. I know you're in our midst. Doing the beautiful work. Touch your people, Lord. Bless them. I thank you in Christ's name. My Savior. My Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank you.
Amen. I'm just being sensitive to God because I don't feel released to just let you go, and I don't know why. I know it's 12:15. You've been here a while. We have a call to faith this morning. And I don't mean the name of a church. I mean a faith that moves. A faith that's active. You see, it's humbling. I don't remember if it was Sasha or a driver, but we were dropped off, Luke and I were dropped off at a prison in Latvia. And we went in and we ministered the gospel, we preached. And then we discovered that just a few decades ago, that very prison was used to house and interrogate and torture pastors. And here I am just a few decades later preaching the gospel freely. And the only thing that separated me and those ministers was a few years. And they had the faith to do what necessary so I could preach the gospel there a few years later. And God's calling us to do whatever is necessary so another generation can preach the gospel. Whether He asks us to just walk with Him, or He asks us to give our life physically, financially, or whatever. He asks us to do whatever necessary for His name. And I know that message today meant something different for all of you. It meant something different for me. It really challenged me. Let's take just a moment and I don't keep you long past what God wants to do, but if Jesus Christ were to drop down and come back today, would he find faith in this room? Would he find a people that proclaim his name that say, Lord, we will do whatever you ask. We will go wherever you want us to go. We will spend ourselves on your behalf. No matter how comfortable or uncomfortable, no matter if we have the blueprints or not, will we respond? Will he find faith in this room? Take just about 30 seconds. Let's bow our heads. Let's echo the words of the disciples as Jesus shared about the cost of being a disciple and carrying a cross, and they said, Lord, give us faith. They recognized they didn't have what it took to continue. And they said, God, give us faith. Ask the Lord to give you faith this morning for whatever you're facing, for wherever God is leading you, for wherever he's speaking to your heart. I know there are some in this room that are afraid. I don't know what lies ahead, Pastor. Do you know how much that could cost me? Do you know if there's failure where my family would end up if I did that? Ask God to give you faith this morning. Give us faith, Lord. Give us faith. Lord, as we leave this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would answer our cries for faith, Lord. That the faith that our brother Sasha shared with us, Lord, from the Word, Lord, that it would resonate within us. That, Lord, where you're leading, where you're guiding us, Lord, that you would give us the faith needed to respond to you, Lord, for whatever you have prepared for us, Lord, whatever lies down the road, Lord, for we know the time is short, Lord, that you would give us the faith needed. Not a faith that looks for blessing, Lord, but a faith that blesses you. Give us faith, Lord, we ask. We love you, Lord. It's our desire to serve you. It's our desire to please you. We need the faith that comes from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we leave this morning, I pray blessings over your people, over Sasha and his family, Lord, as he takes his message across the United States. I pray, Lord, that when we are at that moment, at that pivotal point, Lord, where faith is needed, Lord, Lord, that you would grant this faith today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit rests and abide within your people, Lord, as we go to our workplaces, as we go to school, Lord, as we are out in our community. with our families, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit and your presence would be with us, that we would be that light in that dark world. Just one light and the darkness is gone. Lord, let us be that light. Live within us, Lord. We ask you, we love you. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sasha, for bringing that word to us today. I pray that it resonated within you, that you take that home with you, and that God seals it in your hearts. Amen. Amen. Well, don't run off. Do you have anything before you dismiss? No? Yes?
Just a song.
Just a song? Always have a song.
You guys want to stand with me? Can you hear me? No? Yes? Is this on? I have decided to follow Jesus.
Come on.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Patrick and I were looking at each other during the worship service and during the end of the sermon. Recently, we took the time to watch Saving Private Ryan together. Wouldn't recommend it to many of you, but it's one line at the end of the movie where a key character lies dying, and he looks over at the guy that he's been sent to save, and he says two words: "Earn this." And we have all those who went before us who have not yet claimed their prize. Sasha, you got it. You got it. The baton is in our hands. Earn this. We don't earn it from God. God's grace is free. But let us run with pride and honor and carry the banner of the Lord to our dying day, should the Lord tarry. And let us pass that baton to our next generation, should the Lord tarry. But if the Lord comes, my brothers and sisters, let us not be of those who were faint-hearted, who put their hands to the plow and then looked back. You hear me, teenagers? You hear me? I'm looking at you guys. Earn this. Take that baton and run with it. None of this half-hearted stuff. Let's make our declaration before God, before heaven, and before hell this morning. No turning back. Amen? Put your hand over your heart if you believe it. Come on, like you were pledging allegiance. Only this time it's to the one who deserves your allegiance. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow
no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Never gonna turn our back on you, Lord. Lord. Amen. Amen.